Father's Day, they're probably going to sing, look, he leaves, he walks away. He knows. He giveth more grace on Father's Day. Acts chapter 16 in your Bibles this morning. Acts chapter 16. I also want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be in 2 Timothy 1 just for a minute. Most of our time will be spent in Acts chapter number 16. So find both of those passages. And when you found it, look up and I'll know that we're ready to read it. If you can't find it for some reason, just look up and you'll convince me that you're there anyway. A mother gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a written test, she included this question: my full name has six letters. The first one is M and I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother instead of the word magnet. This week, as I asked the Lord what he would have for this hour, I took a few minutes and thanked the Lord for three individuals in my life. Number one, my grandmother. There wasn't a time that I talked with her that she didn't tell me that she was praying for me. She's in heaven. Of course, I thank the Lord for my mother, who got me through lots of challenges in life, and she's in heaven as well. I'm thankful that this third person is still on earth, and that's my wife. I thank the Lord for her and for the impact that she has had on my children. I tell people if there's anything good in our children, it's because of her. Not because of me, all right? So I'm the thorn, as he talked about in Sunday school. I want to thank the Lord for her and for her walk with the Lord. Have you ever asked yourself, what does it take to influence others for God? You think about it as a mom or a dad or really as a Christian, we ought to be about influencing others. We ought to be about making an impact for others. And as I said earlier, we're going to be in Acts 16 for most of the time, but I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and I want to read a few verses from this passage where the Apostle Paul, writing to his preacher boy Timothy, said some things concerning Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. The word Timothy, the name Timothy, means honoring God. Timothy was a friend. He was a co-worker of Paul. He was a native of Lystra. He may have been converted on Paul's first missionary journey. Paul referred to Timothy as a child in the faith, and it probably is why he was so instrumental in his conversion. Timothy was a disciple that was well respected. And yet Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, says this to him in verse number 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. The word means not phony or not fake. That is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And then he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There is no doubt, you can turn now with me to Acts 16. There is no doubt that Timothy was affected by the faith of his grandmother and by the faith of his mother, that it was passed down to them. Yet we don't know too much about these ladies. I'm going to give you what we know about Timothy's mother, found in Acts chapter 16. There's not too much concerning his mother. Let's look at this. And as we look at this, I want to give you some characteristics of Timothy's mother that I believe made an impact for God in Timothy's life. Let me say it this way. I think Timothy was a man of God that was used of God in a great way, primarily because of the initial influence of his mother. In my estimation, in the formative years of a child, no one has a greater influence in a child's life than a mother. And so let's look at Acts 16. I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. We'll have prayer, and then I want to give you three characteristics of his mother. Verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which are in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Lord, I pray this morning that you would use the truth of the Word of God in all of our lives. Lord, I thank you for the privilege we have to demonstrate Christ, to live the Christian life so that others will see Jesus in us. And Lord, I thank you for the impact that Timothy's mother had on him. And Lord, I thank you for the impact that we can have on others. And I pray, Lord, that you would now take truth. Would you meet us where we are? Would you meet needs? Would you glorify yourself? And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What was it that Timothy's mother impacted? How did she impact it? Number one, I want you to see this. Number one, in verse number one, she had real faith. The Bible says in verse one, that a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed. Now, Timothy's mother was a believer. As a matter of fact, she was not just a closet Christian, all right? She was genuine Christian. See, how do we know that? Well, we just read in 2 Timothy that she had unfeigned faith, or a non-hypocritical faith, a genuine, a sincere faith. Without hypocrisy, she walked with God. You know, some people make a profession, but their life sometimes doesn't match their lips. She didn't say, "Hey, do as I say, not as I do." There was not a mother that was one way at church and one way at home. She didn't put on the dog and was all sweet and kind when she was around people, and then at home was mean and unkind. No. She had a real faith. She walked with God. She placed her faith and trust in Him, and it was real, and that faith was an impact to Timothy. Can I remind us all that it is important, our life is important. We're to let our light so shine that others may see what? The good works. They may see Christ in us and be drawn to the Lord. And it is important for us to recognize that our children often will do what we do more than they do what we say. I'm thankful for a mom and a dad that walk with the Lord. I'm thankful for a mom and a dad that read their Bible every day. I'm thankful for parents that would ask me on a regular basis, "Did you read your Bible?" And I didn't have to ask them, "Well, did you read your Bible?" Because I saw them read their Bible on a regular basis. It is important for us to recognize the impact that we have. Let me talk to the ladies just a minute. Do you know, moms, you teach your children how to obey. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, you have a husband in the home. You teach them. By the way, we all teach our children how to obey when it comes to the authorities that God has put in our lives. We teach them respect for authority. We teach them by our example. We teach them day in and day out. And I'm convinced that the world needs people who genuinely walk with God. You know what? We're saved. He saved us from hell and from the power of sin. We're bought with a price. He allows us to use His name, Christians. And yet so often we want to have fire insurance, but we want to do what we want to do. That's not found in the Word of God. It is important for us to recognize that we ought to be the real deal. Jesus lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And a genuine walk with God is so important. Children, again, as I said, will do what they do often because their parents did what they did. Sometimes children will parent the way their parents parented. And sometimes if their parents didn't parent right or didn't parent biblically, or by the way, we live in a different day and age than we did then, sometimes it can be a problem. I read about a bride of several months she was just newlywed. She was sawing away at the end of a ham. And the neighbor saw her, and she said, "Why are you sawing off the end of that ham?" She said, "Well, because my mother always did it." A few days later, the neighbor met the bride's mother, and she said, "Your daughter tells me you always saw off the end of the ham before you cook it. I wonder why." Well, frankly, the mother said, "I do it because my mother did it. Why not ask her?" The neighbor phoned the grandmother, who lived in the same town. The grandmother let her in on the secret. She said this, "I never owned a baking pan large enough to hold a ham, and that's why I cut that off." You think about why we do what we do, right? Often is because of the example that we have seen in the lives of others. G. Campbell Morgan was a preacher and had four sons. They were all preachers. And someone came into the room when the family was there, the family's together, and they thought they would see what Howard, one of his sons, was made of. So they asked him this question: "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" They had great admiration for their father. He looked straight across at his father and then without hesitation answered, "Mother. Mother." If serving God is not the greatest thing in your life, number one, you're not going to be happy. But number two, your family members will be the first to know it. Paul didn't by accident say to Timothy, "Oh yeah, by the way." No. Paul recognized that Timothy was the man he was because he had a godly grandmother that walked with the Lord that was genuine, and a godly mother that walked with the Lord and was genuine. Do you know what? If we're going to have godly young people, there's a whole bunch of things we can try to instill and this and that. But you know what? Right at the top should be this: I need to be a godly person myself. I tell young people this all the time when it comes to finding somebody they want to marry. "Oh, I want to marry, and here's all my characteristics and here's all my qualities." And boy, some people got long lists, right? But the reality is you need to be the godly Christian that God wants you to be before you're going to find the godly spouse that God wants you to have. You see, it's so important for us to recognize the importance of real, genuine faith. I want you to see, secondly, Acts 16. I want you to see what the Bible says here about his mother. The Bible says in verse number 1, "A certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek." Verse 3 at the end, "For they knew all that his father was a Greek." Now, I want you to see, secondly, the second characteristic I see in Timothy's mother is that she had a resolute or a resolved focus. She had a resolve. Why? Because she was a believer. But the implication here from the Word of God is that her husband was not a believer. He was a Greek. He was probably unsaved. He may have been out of his life. He may have been dead. The scriptures don't tell us. He's not really mentioned in scripture. But we know, according to the Word of God and according to practical experience, that somebody that is saved, that marries someone that is not saved, it can pose a challenge in the home and in the life of the individual that is saved. Let me say this, by the way. Somebody that is on fire for God and walking with God and wants to please God, that is married to somebody that is not walking with God and not wanting to please God, even though they may be saved, it has challenges as well. And what I want you to see is, though it would have posed challenges, Timothy's dad wouldn't maybe not have had family devotions. He wouldn't have seen the importance of the scriptures. He wouldn't have seen the importance of church or the importance of teaching his child. But do you know what? Even though there were challenges in the home, Eunice, Timothy's mother, continued to do what was right. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hold your place in Acts 16. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want you to see this. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 14, again, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he says this: there's challenges coming, there's persecution that he would face. In verse number 14, he says this: "But 2 Timothy 3:14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give us the great verse about all scriptures, inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But what is Paul saying to Timothy? Timothy, listen, persecution's coming. All right, you're facing challenges and difficulties and persecution, but you were taught the scriptures as a child, and continue in those things that you were taught. Do you know what I learned about that? I learned that Timothy's mother, though she was probably married to someone that was unsaved, continued to do what was right. She continued to have Timothy under the influence of the scriptures. She continued to teach Timothy what was right and what was wrong. She continued to instill in Timothy the need for church and the need for the things of God in his life. And Timothy turned out for God, in my estimation, because his mother was faithful in the midst of the obstacles and the challenges that she faced. We always blame other people for our lack of doing what's right. We live in a society that's all about blaming. Well, I did this, it's his fault, it's her fault. It's everybody's fault, but it's not my fault. Eunice had every reason to say, you know what, Timothy, I'm checking out. Your dad's not saved. Your dad doesn't care about the Bible. Your dad doesn't care about the things of God. I'm checking out too. But that's not the attitude that impacts a generation for the Lord. You see, we need to be individuals that say, I am going to do what's right. I am going to do what's right no matter who else does right. We need families where individual members of the families will decide, I don't care if anyone else in this family isn't going to respond right. I am going to respond right. I am going to do what God wants me to do. Do you know, ultimately, we stand before God and we give account to God for our lives. A number of years ago, I was asked, this was a number of years, as a matter of fact, we met this gal in Indiana, Faith Baptist Church in Avon, Indiana. There's a gal there that attends Brother Monty's church. She's married. She's got three teenagers of her own. Numbers of years ago, actually, let me go back beyond the numbers of years. When I was a youth pastor in Indianapolis, Indiana, her dad kind of left them. And she was with her single mom, and the two of them started coming to church. And her mother was determined, I'm going to keep her in church. Her mother was determined, I'm going to try to do what I can to help her spiritually. She had lots of challenges there. She had lots of challenges not having a man in her life to help her. And the young gal came to church. And the young gal, she grew in her walk with the Lord. And the young gal, she went off to Bible college. And there was a day that she called my wife. And she said to my wife, I'm getting married. I said, oh, this is wonderful. We're so happy. This is great. She said, yeah, I want to ask you before I ask your husband. You know, my dad has not been in my life. And I'm going to get married. Would you be fine if your husband walked me down the aisle for my wedding? Boy, what a privilege. My wife said, sure, I'm fine with this. Perfect. Here, ask him. Say, what a privilege. She's serving the Lord today, seeing people saved, seeing God's hand on her life. And you look at it and you say, why? Because she had a mother that said, this kid needs the scriptures. This kid needs to be wise unto salvation. This kid needs God in her life. And though her father's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, by the way, dads, we need to get it together. Why is it that the ladies are the more spiritual in the home? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes my wife, she'll ask me, hey, would you like to fast and pray about this situation? My flesh sometimes says, nope. I'm hitting the buffet for lunch today. I happen to have a lunch appointment. Hey, it shouldn't be this way, but often it is this way in many a home. But chastity is serving God today because she had a mother that didn't give up. She had a mother that didn't quit. She had a mother, yes, there were challenges, but that mother said, if I can get you to the scriptures, it'll make you wise unto salvation. And she found a godly husband, a guy that loves her, and a guy that loves the Lord, and a guy that's serving the Lord today. Because of who? Because of mother. I think that was the case in Timothy's life. I think Timothy's mom had to determine that she was going to do what was right, that she was going to get him in under the Scriptures and get him into the things of the Lord. Someone wrote this, ask you this question as we think concerning our homes, as we think concerning a positive attitude, a positive atmosphere in our homes. Someone wrote this, children learn what they live. If a child learns with lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If he lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If he lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. What kind of atmosphere do you produce in your home? You know, moms, you're really the spiritual temperature, the thermometer, what do you call it, thermostat. And dad comes home from work. Is it I'm so glad you're here, man. Life's been rough. Here, take these kids and I'm out of here. I know there's days when you feel like that. You know, kids come home. What kind of reception? What kind of atmosphere? Is it an atmosphere of, hey, praise the Lord? Hey, God's good? Hey, it's good to... You see, it is so important that we recognize the responsibility that we have to focus on what is right. Eunice said, I am going... There was a time in her life when she said, hey, I am going to have a resolute focus. I want you to see number three in verse number three. I find this interesting as I look at this passage of Scripture. The Bible says this, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. I want you to see thirdly, I think this was something that was very important in the life of Timothy. Let me ask you this question before I give you the third truth, the third characteristic. Who did Eunice, the mother of Timothy, allow Timothy to hang around with? Or to hang with, we might say. Paul. I think number three, the right following is important. You see, being a Jew, she would have allowed him, she would have been for him being circumcised. Her father probably would not have been necessarily for it. And obviously, if he was in the situation there, I'm guessing they would have had some conversations. I'm guessing she would have had to help persuade him. If he wasn't, it wasn't out of life, obviously she made the decision there to go ahead and have him circumcised. But you know what? She didn't criticize Paul in front of Timothy. She went, you know, sometimes, and I know it's right, sometimes we have a tendency, we want to kind of protect them, and we do need to protect our kids because there's an adversary, the devil, that walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Timothy wouldn't have been the man of God that he was if his mother wasn't willing to allow him to have the right friends, the right following, the right influences in his life. You know, nobody's an island. Nobody's going to be an island. There's a lot of influences in this world. And I think it's important that we allow the right influences, spiritual influences, in the lives of our children. If you look at Timothy and how close Timothy and Paul were, Timothy not only accompanied Paul, but he was sent on many crucial missions by Paul. When Paul was unable to go to Corinth, he sent Timothy to represent him and his teachings. Later, Paul was in prison. He sent Timothy to Philippi. I think it was of Timothy that he said, I have no man like-minded. You know, Paul and Timothy's, both of their names were listed as authors of six of Paul's letters. Paul encouraged Timothy at the end of his life to remain true to his calling. He had a huge impact on the world, the church, and the personal life of the great apostle Paul. God used Timothy in a great way. But he did so because his mom was willing to allow him and Timothy to hang out. His mom saw the need for positive influences, for positive peer pressure. Don't be so protective that you don't embrace the spiritual influences of other people. Let me say this. We got some teenagers here, and we got some young kids. Pastor Drew will tell you this. When he first showed up, I said this to him. I said, you know what? I have, at that time, maybe 5 or 4 teenagers. I lose track how many I had at that time. But anyway, I said, Pastor Drew, God's called you here, and you're young, and my kids are young. And there's some things in my children that, like anybody's kids, that I probably don't see. We all have blind spots. I said to him, I want you to spend as much time with my kids as you can, as long as you influence them for God. You're the youth pastor. You're going to find the weaknesses and strengths of the Mawson home, and he has sworn to secrecy. And you're going to see my kids for who they are, in the spirit and in the flesh. But I want your influence in their life. I have some preacher friends that sometimes we get around and I bring the kids. Why? I want their influence in the kids' lives. You see, we're all in this together. And we have blind spots. And let me just say this. Sometimes as homeschoolers, we're not as willing to allow other people into our little world. We want to kind of control our little world. You know what? We're all sinners, saved by grace. We all need each other. God puts us together as a church for the body of Christ to build one another. And by the way, we ought to all be for the success of one another. Every young person that runs around this church, and some of them that climb on the chairs or do something wrong, even though that may bug you, you ought to be for their success. You ought to be for them seeing God use them in a great way. And we can say to them, hey, I remember I was dealing with some kids in the basement. My mom was listening. I pulled the kid aside, and I said, hey, you think your mom and dad would want you doing that? No. I said, you think we can like change this? Said, yes. Said, all right, this is between me and you. Gave him a fist bump, you know. Poor mom was watching. Come here. I said, well, take it easy on him, you know. I kind of told him it was between what young people. We all make mistakes. And the last thing we need when we make mistakes is someone to shoot us full of spiritual bullets, acting like we're perfect. We need love. We need encouragement. Yes, we need instruction. We need to allow others to be part. Do you know one of the hardest things as a pastor? One of the hardest things as a pastor. I'll just be honest with you. I'll be transparent. It's not in the notes, so I trust this is from the Lord. One of the hardest things as a pastor, you don't have it all together. You don't have all the answers. But sometimes you see things. You see things in the lives of kids. You see things in the lives of a home. And it used to be when I was first at this many, many years ago, I'd try to help. Say, hey, did you know, not too well received. I have found this, that it's often hard to give your opinion unless someone asks for your opinion. So as a pastor, just like a doctor, a medical doctor, imagine going to a medical doctor and you say, you know, my arm bothers me, and the medical doctor says, okay, let's put a band-aid on it, but there's something, you know, you have cancer. And you're not allowed to say anything, right? Someone's going to hurt you. You've been at this a long time. And what's difficult sometimes is you have to allow people to go the wrong way, to go down the path of the wrong way until they get to a point where they wave the flag and bring you in. You see, why is it? Why can't you just say, hey, could we talk for a minute? Because it isn't received. Well, most people don't want your opinion unless they ask for your opinion. But we need each other. We need the right following, the right influences in the lives of our children. You know, the devil is slick. The devil is slick. The devil will do everything he can. Our friends often determine our future, and he'll do everything he can to try to get the wrong influences in our kids' lives to get them off track and not where they ought to be. Abraham Lincoln was a man of high moral conviction. Obviously, we know he was a president, and they called him Honest Abe. His mother was a godly Christian who every Sunday set Abe on her knee and read him the Word of God. Her special concentration for her son was the knowledge of the Ten Commandments. This godly mother once said, "I would rather Abe be able to read the Bible than to own a farm if he could have but one." Nancy Lincoln died in 1818 when Abe was only 9 years of age, but the law of God had been inscribed in his heart. Her last words were these, "Abe, I'm going to leave you now, and I shall not return. I want you to be kind to your father and live as I have taught you. Love your heavenly Father and keep his commandments." He was nine. He was known as Honest Abe because of the 9 years that his mother was able to impact him. When asked later in life why he was so honest, he said that he could still clearly hear the tones of his mother's voice as she spoke to him from Exodus 20 and read of the Lord God who gave his commandments. Lincoln declared, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Boy, we have the privilege to impact other people. If you're a mom or a dad today, you have a special privilege to impact the children that God has given you. By the way, why does God give us children? Because one day he wants us to shoot them as arrows. He wants to use your children to turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. You know what that might mean? That might mean we put them on an airplane and they go across the ocean to another country and they become a missionary. It could mean they go to that country, become a missionary, and are killed for their faith. It could mean that they have to leave home and go to another side of the United States of America and serve God somewhere there. And we say, "Well, I don't like that too much." Yeah, our human heart, right? We're connected with the people that we're close to. But ultimately, we're trying to form a generation that God can use in a powerful way. They are God's first and foremost. And we need to remember that. They're on loan to us from the Lord that we might influence them for God and see them make a difference in the world in which we live. Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a great example, impacting her son for God. May God help us to see the need. May God help us to be what we need to be. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the example we have here in the Word of God.